Sean O'Neill came and filled in for Taylor Francis of Como. Sean is from Sarge Lake Christian Camp out from Batesville. And he filled in on the last of the lecture programs for this year at Crockett. You'll enjoy the presentation of his work with men and the Bible studies that came from Acts of Service. This is Sean O'Neill.
And fast forward 50 years, it morphed into something huge. It went from a soup kitchen to 70,000 square feet. Millions and millions of dollars of budget. Last budget when I left was $3.4 million a year. All that coming along, we started realizing needs. When you start getting big, you start realizing needs, okay? And it's funny how if, even with a church, you start saying, wait a minute, maybe we just go back to the Bible, we'll find our answers, right? So one of the biggest things we saw was that we were housing these men, and the city came to us. I was on the board of directors for many years before I took over running the mission, and the city came to us and said, hey, you can't let these guys stay here year-round anymore. You've got to make them stay out a certain amount of time. We were dead set against that on the board. We thought, that's, why is the city telling us what to do? So it was one of those things that, in hindsight, it was the best thing that could have happened. It started a new era for us on some things. If we'd just gone back to the Bible and said, hey, if a man doesn't wear an infant, should he eat? Well, we were letting these guys stay here day in, day out. We thought we were doing some good. But they weren't coming to us for study, okay? They were coming for, they would come get their sermon tonight. We took no government money. So I could still say, Bill, Travis, Robert, you can come in tonight, but you got to hear a sermon. Okay? You got to feed your soul before you feed your body. But then after that, there was nothing. And that was when we started our discipleship program. And discipling became what we were about. That was our mantra. And our idea of making a disciple was we started a program where if you decided you were tired of your old life, you could come be a disciple. You could come and dedicate this. We would feed you, we would clothe you, we would give you work, we would give you $10 a week. We would actually pay you to be there. We taught them what to do with that $10 a week. We taught them how to tithe with that money. We taught them how to pay off bills. And you would think $10 a week is not a lot of money. But let me just tell you, these guys would come in with $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, and $100,000 bills for medical, dental, all these bills that they would have being out on the streets, being homeless. We would literally take that $10 a week and set them up on a budget to show them how to handle some of that stuff. So the whole idea became a discipling program. Community projects that lead to a Bible study. That's the only reason I'm here today. Food. I mean, we've got food, right? We offered these guys the opportunity to eat every day. We offered them food every day. We offered them a place. We offered them a sense of meaning. I would say more than anything, we offered them a sense of being, a sense of having some self-worth, and it's amazing what Christ does after that, when they start feeling that love. So I would say the biggest thing I see, the biggest angst we see in any community, and in the church right now, I've talked to several preachers here. You see the new people come in, You believe them to Christ, they're baptized, they're here, and then what happens? I've seen them disappear. I mean, you literally don't see them again. They join the church, they come to a few things. It's the Bible study and the discipleships. That's the lagging component, going out into all the world and making disciples. Our discipleship program was 3 years long. 3 years long, that you were considered that label. And I'm careful what I say about labels and so on and so forth. Some don't like the word disciple. They think that puts you up as what was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You say, oh, I'm a disciple of Christ. Well, you're not one of them. It's the learning principles of learning Christianity is what we're talking about. The Bible study, the learning principle, the how to become a Christian. And I think that's what we see lacking. I've racked my brain over it several times. How do you start that program? Because the same thing goes here today is food. We know what that's a good way to get people in. But what's the other problem that everybody has now? The biggest problem that everybody has. I'm busy. I don't have time. It's sitting down and making time. Setting aside time. Something sticks in my head every time I think about that is in the book of Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Conscious decision of who you're going to serve. Okay, we have that problem here today. Us. It's giving that idea through to other people of setting aside. So I know one thing that worked for me for Bible studies, a congregation that we belong to in California, they realized the time factor. Okay, we met Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That it worked for some people. We met Friday nights in a home group. We had a home group. And so what the congregation, now we're talking about a large congregation, several thousand. They said, you've got your opportunity to come Sunday morning and Sunday night. You got your opportunity to come Wednesday night. We're having church services there. But then they put us, and they selected men. And I would say, if this would be an allowable word, pre-deacons or pre-elders, guys that they knew in the church, and I think we all know without saying, but we know those guys. We know those guys that we, you know, it's the elders and deacons. You've always got your eye on the young man in the congregation. You're like, he's gonna be there. He lives that life, okay? They would find young men like that. They would find young men, and I say young men, they're in their 30s, early 40s, some of them. Have young children. They would find those gentlemen and say, we're going to make you a home group leader. And the whole idea was is that one night of the week, every night of the week, they would assign you to a home group. So if Monday nights worked for you and your wife, you would get assigned to a home Bible study on Monday nights, or Tuesday nights, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday. So that every night of the week, your idea was you plugged into one group, and that became your home study Bible group. Led by this gentleman. It was in his house, okay? It was led by him, under the auspice of what the elders and the deacons decided needed to be taught. They would get the study material together, and that was how we progressed with that. Some of the best Bible studies we ever had, my wife and I, were under the home study Bible groups. There was no pressure. Food was there. There we go back to food. it's a big thing. Food was there. It was in someone's home. You learned, you know, the first couple of meetings is always awkward. You're in somebody else's house. But then it becomes like home. And we literally did this for 5 years. So these people we're still close to these couples. And they were couples our age, but we had one. I'd say we were all in our 30s, and we had one couple that were in their 60s that came. So it meshed, it worked. Having said that, that was one of the best things that led to home Bible studies. We had some people that were not walking in a Christian faith. I think they were Christian in name only. I can't make that dichotomy for them, but what you heard how they lived the rest of the week didn't jee-haw with what we were trying to accomplish. It was slow. It was time. It was time. It was time. And they finally got there. You know, but you can see the fruits coming out with those, with that oven, being around other Christians in that home study group. The biggest thing is keeping it under the auspice of the church, keeping it under the elders, the deacons, keeping the preacher involved in what's being taught, and have the people you depend on. Brooks and Bobby, I don't know if they're elders or deacons yet, but okay, they're deacons, but 5 years before that, they weren't. But they would have been ideal candidates. Men raised, no questions, no issues, leading them on to that preaching and teaching. Like I said, I don't think the word pre-deacon exists. That's a made-up connotation, but it's the idea that they're going in that direction. Use those young men in that capacity to lead to that home Bible study. And like I said, our group had 6 couples in it. Most of us strong, some of us failing at certain points in time, having issues. But that one couple, I will say that one couple, it took us 5 years probably to get them to that point. But they started walking with the Lord. And this was a marriage that was, had some drug addiction in the past, alcohol addiction in the past, it was way in the past, they'd given all that up, but they still had that contention that was hard to deal with, that we helped them get through. Another thing we found that worked really well for home Bible studies and getting people to come were video series. Now, this was still in the home study type aspect, but we found some video series that were certain doctors for like marriage. Dr. Smalley does the marriage counseling. Dr. Eggers does a marriage counseling videos, just how to improve your marriage. My wife and I thought we had a fantastic marriage until we went through some of those videos. And then you realized how well it could be. But you don't bill it as a marriage help class. Because one of the other couples is not going to like that. One's going to make everything fine and the other one's not. We did the doc. Yes?
Let me interrupt you. It's unusual for me to do this, but I hold your thought with regard to videos. I can come back to it. But any question from you guys in regard to the earlier presentation that's done? We essentially do that by virtue of building here. Our study cycle on Wednesday night. But there are more nights a week that can be involved with it. How would it work here? And that's it.
I don't see any problem with it. It's about saving souls. The way the people's work schedules are now, Tuesday might not. Tuesday night might be better than Wednesday night. Thursday night might be better. So, if that's, for Bible study, if that would work, I don't think we have a problem here.
But I grew up in a dairy farm community across South Dakota School with a church at night. And the best night of the week for them to get together was at the church building on Friday night. And so, my first preaching in 1960, in August, September that year, on Friday nights. That asked me to speak devotional thoughts, sermon, do a sermon about, and that's what it did.
So that they can get an understanding of what they're supposed to be doing. But our biggest thing was teaching them that worship comes from the heart. God designed you to worship. If you're not worshiping God, what are you worshiping? Okay? Well, Romans chapter 6 tells us what? You are a slave to what you serve. So you will either submit to you will either in Romans chapter 6 says it will either present yourself a member of righteousness or you will present your member as a to unrighteousness. But you are going to be a slave to what you serve. Therefore, you were designed to serve. Period. It's a hard concept for us to wrap our brain around, but we were made to worship something. That's why we have a hard time worshiping ball games, we have a hard time worshiping money. Stuff, whatever it be, we're worshiping something other than God. But counting that whole thing to understand, we met people where they were. So we would get them churched in a way so that they would go out and visit these other churches, and then they could come back and find their spot, okay? Having said that, they made it their own. The whole idea of meeting other than Wednesday night, we still met Wednesday night. If Wednesday night worked in your schedule, you went on Wednesday nights. It was the opportunity for the people. You just said Friday and Saturday wouldn't work. Monday night worked for me and my wife. We are going to meet Monday nights now. Okay? That was the whole idea, was to meet people where they were. To go out and find people where they were. But the idea is that you have a small group of people here. Who can we be getting otherwise? Who's out there that we could be getting but Wednesday night does not fit in their schedule? The young couple that is not church, is not, they are not Christians. They have very little more than going with their grandparents every now and then on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. We call them CMEs. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, that's when they show up. That's the only kind of church they've ever had their whole life. And to them, that means, hey, I've got to get on my nice clothes, and there's got to be a big meal afterwards. And if I see a church and tell me a meal prepared and get my clothes ironed, then I'm okay, because I skipped the whole worship part. It's getting that group, that couple, to come on Monday nights, or Tuesday night to worship them, or a Thursday or a Friday night to worship them.
Let me ask you a question. How are Wednesday night classes for you? It's not because of me, it's because of the all folks there. Now, I teach on Wednesday nights, but there might be some, and I have done like this, that may not want to come on Wednesday night because I teach them. So, would it be good for Robert to offer another class on any other night for the rest of the people, even though we don't start with the same thing? What if we start?
I don't think that's impossible.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that to be.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this question.
See, there's some I'm afraid that are afraid to set in the class because they may think that we're going to find out what they don't know. Whereas we could find out instead what they do know, and it may help us because, you know, the more that we know together, the better we are. But go ahead.
And you answered your question in that regards. And this is what I'm going to say. What day are we supposed to worship God?
Sunday is the day that we all worship together. But our lives are supposed to be every day.
Corporate worship.
Right.
Worshiping with our fellow Christians. We're called to lay Bible the first day of the week. We take the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper together. We take that opportunity to have
the church. As the church together, we are the church. We understand that. Individually, we are the church, but that thing, the church, meets all together to worship.
I wish I could figure out is we've had so many people come together that are members of the church.
Okay.
They've gone to another church, or to another congregation. And so many times, it's younger folks and children, they say, well, there's not enough children here, we're going somewhere. And they can't be. Because if they, now all these people in the last 2 years we stayed here, we'd have 40 kids here.
You know, yes, it is. I think I know why one certain group was. And that is because, number one, they are inconspicuous to the rest of the folks. In other words, they are there, but, you know, they're not, but not comfortable. And number two is that the preaching here was too hard.
Okay.
And I believe that to be the case. That's my belief.
But, you know, I mean, with filling my speech full of salt and salting my speech with grace, and that is a key thing.
kids today, it's going to be harder to reach out and touch kids because you have to constantly keep them entertained. My wife and I are expecting our first child, and everybody's telling me how it's going to be. Here's what I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. I don't own a TV in my home. And because I'm getting a kid, I'm not going to have a TV. Just because I'm getting a kid does not mean I need a TV now. My kid, I was 27 years old before I owned one of these. My kid is not going to get one at 12. And I'm not going to justify my kid getting one at 12 because, well, I might need to get a hold of him. Travis, when you're buzzing at the end, I'll be 12.
What did she do? She did well. She said, you better have it, but you left me home by 12. Brother Robert, you have to leave 12. How did your mother get a hold of you? 12, Brother Robert. Did you go to school?
I was supposed to be here.
Did you go to school? No, I mean, but, I mean, she might miss you. Something might happen. How did you make it?
If we pay attention to what Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, noted to the Corinthians, that he became all things to all men, that by all means he might reach some, then we will be the ideal of trying to reach others with a service that we render. Reach their souls for the blessing of the Lord. This is Robert Rawson.